Joshua 23, verse 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them. He's talking about the enemies that are in the land. From before you, and drive them from out of your sight. And you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you the great nations, and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Now, that's obviously a chapter against idolatry and mixing. Joshua said this just before he died. Now, the word Joshua is the word Jesus. All right. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and he multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, which I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you didn't build not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And all the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and they set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Now, the purpose of the hot seats is to identify the stone, so that the stone will be a witness against you, so that there will be never a time when you justify yourself. Now, the Amorites, remember when we studied Amorites? Mm-hmm. What do you remember about Amorites?
Until the sin of the Amorites is fulfilled.
I've forgotten what the sin was.
There
was something that, I remember the same thing. She remembered this, until the sin of the Amorites is fulfilled, but I don't know what the sin was.
Us.
Because it wasn't a sin. It was you.
What a coincidence.
The sin of the Amorite, the reason the horror of great darkness was so awesome to Abraham, where it says that the seed should serve in a land not theirs for 430 years, whatever he said, till the sin of the Amorite is fulfilled. The sin of the Amorite can only be fulfilled when you die, because you cannot serve the Lord. He will not forgive your sin. So that's the catch, that's the secret. The process that in you then is, there comes a point when you can excuse yourself for your own sloth. You can excuse yourself for, well, I don't know the scriptures well enough. You can excuse yourself for, well, I haven't been here long enough. But when the sin of the Amorite, which is the great transgression, is seen, then you are without excuse. That's the scariest position in the history of the known universe. Then it's either all him or nothing him. So that's the secret of the sin of the Amorite. You got it? Remember when Elijah confronted the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. He said to Israel, how long shall you halt between two opinions? Remember, there's 450 plus 400, that's 850. How long should you halt between 850 opinions? If God be God, serve him. If not, serve the others. Now this, the reason this great transgression is so vital is that you can never again have the excuse of saying, well, I haven't been here long enough. Or, well, that's true for Bible study teachers. Or,
that's a good one.
That was one of our favorites.
Huh?
So you need a better excuse.
Do you understand me? You don't?
No, I said,
mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hopefully, this will shut up your mouth forever. Well, to shut up your mouth from justifying yourself is what the Spirit is. But do you understand how comforting it has been when you can tell yourself that, well, you're confronted with a spirit. You're confronted with an impulse or a situation in your head and in your heart. Well, I need to do this. Or this is what needs to take place. Well, I don't need to do it. Or,
you know, for years I heard you use the expression, now you are without excuse, and it's just words. But after this deal, it's like, what it means is, there's no excuse you can use to con yourself. You can't con yourself.
Do you know what I mean? Or do I have to get specific?
I didn't understand, but you know
you
have a spirit.
You have a something, okay? Let's say that something is, there's a need.
Okay.
And you have the initial impulse to meet the need, and then you don't. And the thing that goes on in your head has something like, well, when I get it right, then I'll meet the need.
Oh, somebody has a need.
Yeah.
The
initial.
Oh, okay.
Or it can be as the smallest things. There is. I don't care. Whatever impulse comes into your head, and then you slough it off by some other.
Okay.
By timing.
So by justifying, you're really not talking about it in front of other people.
No. Well, I am that. But the real justification is internal.
That's what I'm saying. But those types of justifications that you say to yourself.
Well, the biggest one for me was, I knew 17 years ago that I was supposed to teach. For 5 years, maybe someday. One of the things is for me it is, well, I need to write because I think I probably could be a pretty good writer if I just spent the effort, but I'll do it someday. Or for Barbara, it's, I know I need to quit smoking, but I can't quit smoking as long as Harry smokes. I'll do it someday. Do you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just religious stuff. It's anything that causes you not to follow the impulse. That's the fruit of the expulsion of the great transgression.
Cattle gates.
You got it?
Yeah, this is sounding a lot better than what originally. Originally, I thought it was just going to be skinned alive.
Blade.
Yeah.
Blade.
This sounds a lot better. I mean, because I always go through that. Always.
Yeah. You know, why is procrastination procrastination?
Oh,
yeah. Huh?
She said she's worrying about that tomorrow. I'll get back to you tomorrow.
I don't
want
to do that right now. I should do it now, but I won't.
Any procrastination is simply your body and your system, your hunk of protoplasm, finding excuses not to prophesy. Didn't mean to do with work or not work or effort or no effort. It's lack of prophesying. And it's manifested in everything else you do. Or if you're in a position where, you know, the opposite is true. I've got to get organized. I've got to get list. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. It's like liturgical prophesying.
Yeah, as soon as it looks clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's liturgical prophesying. And both of them are death.
I don't follow the last thing.
Well, that's because you know nothing about the last one. It's called preparation.
Don't worry.
The last one is me.
Don't worry.
Trust us, Rick. Don't you never know mine.
You know a lot about the first one, namely procrastination.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know anything about the second one.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, you know, Pete, I knew that Pete wanted Jackie and myself to come down and play for the kid Bible study. But I kind of, you know, I'm just like, well, you know, him forbid, we won't ask. And he did. And so... And I thought, well, okay, you know, and I never feel ready to do anything. I never feel like I'm ready or I've prepared or I've done this. So I went out, got John's guitar, and we went down and did it, you know. But it's just a prime example.
But you see, that's all liturgy is delayed prophesying. It's everything. It's not just in some religious sense. It's everything of your life. You are, I mean, there's no compartments anymore. You don't have that. If you have this innate need to prepare, well, it has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's the revelation of a spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. That you now are without, by as soon as you're going through this thing, you're without excuse. You got it? If you spend your life in procrastination, then it doesn't matter if it's, you know, well, about mowing the grass, whatever it is. If you spend your, all it is delayed prophecy, and I mean it's no prophecy.
Right.
And so we've got to get rid of in our minds the idea that we've got this little life that we have compartments of stuff. You're a being which is constructed by the Spirit of God to prophesy ever and always. Not by liturgy or not by delay. Because prophesying is obedience. And that's why how long you resist the divine impulse within you. And I'm not talking about just religious stuff. It's talking about everything. And all of that part about the procrastination or the liturgy of preparation is simply part and parcel of the sin of the Amorite. And that sin of the Amorite, the only way I know to attack it is to attack your ego. The thing that defines you.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody understand perfectly?
Yeah, the ego being here is what makes you what you think is you.
All right, what makes me your Eunice.
But you run back to your Eunice.
But do you understand why prophecy is so critical if the gospel is true?
Yeah.
Instant prophecy is the only manifestation of the gospel. Otherwise, you'll still be trying to get it right.
Yeah. It seems like anything else other than instant prophecy it's completely something else.
Yeah.
It's not degrees of prophecy.
It's another gospel, which yet it's not another. It's just pure garbage. It's pure bullshit. It's pure vomit. Okay? Take it, big guy. Start your list.